1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 24. Now, this is right after all the talk of the resurrection. You know, 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. Mm-hmm. This mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. And then it says, then cometh the end. The resurrection comes before the end. Get it all in order now. It helps you to understand it if you get it all in order. It's not the end and then the resurrection. No, it's the resurrection and then the end. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. It's talking about Christ. Even the Father, whom he shall have put down, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That's a lot right there. He's going to put down all rule and all authority and all power. Jesus is going to put it all, put it down. Amen. Do away with it all. Then cometh the end. This is the end. End of all this. For he must reign. It's inevitable. He is going to reign. He must reign. It's not if, you know, there's no if about it. There's no challenge about it. There's no doubt about it. He's the king of Amen. The universe, and he must yes. reign. Yes. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Man, I wonder who all these enemies are. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. Man, that's a lot. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. Not accepted, accepted. Accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this is not anything tonight except just to help you, just to remind you to look a little farther than all this mess that's going on around us. We can't hardly get together with anybody, anywhere. Without all we talk about, it's all this stuff that's going on.
Yeah, that's true.
And everybody's so caught up in it, and it's hard not to be. It honestly is, because we're in the middle of this.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on a ship out in the middle of the sea, and so that's what's on our mind, is the waves and the wind and all of that, but we need to be looking to the shore. We need to realize this ship ain't sinking, and we're going to make it to the shore, and then it's going to be a different story altogether. There is an end to all things. Then cometh the end. The end is coming. And the end of everything as we know it. You know, the clock's going to tick for the last time someday. I saw the other day somewhere, it was one of these history things. It may have been the Wayne County. I don't think it was, though. It was something else. But it was a clock on the wall, and it was stopped at 10 after 2 or something like that, a.m., because that's when such and such happened. Oh, I know what it was. It was a clock in the deal in Moscow. Red Square, what's the big deal there? The big building? It ain't the Kremlin. It's something like that. But it's a big historic building. And that was the moment when the communists took over Russia. And the clock stopped right there. That was the end of all of their... Everything changed from that point on. The clock's going to stop. Ours stops pretty often because the battery dies and one thing and another. That thing there, I don't know, it eats batteries. But we always just put a new battery in and get started again. But there's coming a time, a moment, a second. Think about it, when it's going to stop. In heaven, there's going to be an announcement. It is finished. I mean, it's done. It is done. And time shall be no more. God's going to declare it. There's no more time. It's stopped. It's done. It's over. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said. they're going to pass away. Yeah. Heaven and earth. The earth you stand on. Everything you've ever touched. Everything you've ever smelled, seen with your eyes, heard with your ears. All of it's going to be gone. It's going to end. See, that's sad. No, it's not sad. Lord, hasten the day. Because there's something after the end of all this. This must all end before this can be. The resurrection. And then cometh the end. The end of all the rest of this stuff. The announcement will be made in heaven. It is done. And it'll be over. By the way, that's in Revelation two times. Two times it's spoken, it is done. All earth's business will stop and be no more. You talk about a shutdown. All that man has taken for granted since the beginning of time will just vanish away and cease to exist. The heavens will roll together like a scroll. It'll all be burned up with fervent heat. It's all gone. Gone. It's not going to be here anymore. It's not going to be just an uninhabited planet. There's not going to be any planet. Any planets. Anything. It's all going to disappear. Now, day and night, summer and winter, the cycle of life that man has watched ever since God put him on this earth is going to stop. All things will not continue as they have since the beginning. There's coming a time when it is going to stop. Then cometh the end. Now, God has plans following the end of all this. That's what's important right here. It's not that we're just all resurrected and then simply live happily ever after. We have a too simple, we think in too simple of terms most of the time. We don't get it clear in our mind. You ought to have a hunger in you to search the scriptures and understand these things better. God didn't hide everything from us. No, the secret things belong to God, but whatever else He's revealed, they're for us, the Bible says. Yes. So you can know. And I don't believe anybody's ever known all that we can know that God has revealed. You got to search for it. Yes, sir. You got to want to know. And you got to try to find out. But most people don't do that. They just come to church and sit there and wait on somebody to tell them. Yep. Whatever the preacher says, whatever somebody else said they read somewhere or something. And that's what our body of knowledge consists of. And so I know we're all going to be surprised when we see what God has prepared. But I'd like to know some of it ahead of time. I'd like to be kind of prepared so when I find myself there, like in that great multitude that no man could number, when I'm standing there, I want to remember I read that.
Yes.
I thought about that. While I was still walking on the earth.
Yeah.
I know where I am. And John said, where did these come from? Well, the angel asked him, who are these? And he said, sir, thou knowest. Yeah, I know who they were. They were the ones that came out of great tribulation. Not the great tribulation. They came out of great tribulation. It's a thing that a lot of people have misunderstood here in these last days. They've just thought that we're just going to have our potlucks and our singings and shout-outs and camp meetings until Jesus comes, and then we're out of here. And then the rest of these knotheads are in trouble, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
but it's not going to be that way at all. You know, and the old folks, the old-timers, and you read the old books and stuff, they thought that it wasn't going to be like that at all. They said the church came in fire, and it's going out in fire.
Believe that.
Yep. Believe that. Yes, sir. Who are all those souls that were beheaded for the cause of Christ, for the name of Jesus?
Yep.
Yeah, it's been a rough way for the church all through the ages. Don't think that the last days are going to be a breeze and just ride out on a soft pillow. No, it's not going to be that way. There'll be an end to all the realm of sin and death. Now, I know you're not going to think with me about this as deeply as we ought to, but just think about what I just said. Where does sin reign? in this physical world. And it's all going to be gone. Sin ain't going to have no kingdom anymore. Sin is not going to have any medium to work anymore. God's going to remove everything that makes sin possible. He's going to put an end to it. He's going to put it under His feet. He's going to subdue all things to Himself. All rule and power and authority. That's what the verse says. All rule and power and authority will be put down by Christ. And He truly reigns over all. Now, there's coming a point in time when there will be no authority exercised that opposes Him. Think about that a minute. No authority, no power, no rule that opposes Him. It's not going to exist anymore. You know the Hallelujah Chorus? You know the words in the Hallelujah Chorus?
Yes, sir.
And it comes from Revelation 19. Mm-hmm. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, and He shall reign forever, forever, and ever, and ever.
Amen.
You just about get carried away listening to that. You know, George Handel wrote that, and they played it for the king, and the king stood up. And it don't mean the king was a godly person either. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Oh yeah, it's common knowledge. Been that way all through the centuries and all through the millennia, and everybody knows. They're saying that will not. Oh yes, you will. We don't believe it. Don't matter if you believe it or not. You will bow. He's going to subdue all things. No power, no authority, no rule. That's from the top to the bottom. No king, no prince, no little common hotshot sinner is going to resist God anymore. They're not going to oppose Him. They're not going to exercise any power or authority against Him. They're going to be put under, subdued. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. That's what we'd like to see now.
Yes.
We'd like to see God just do something.
Yes,
well, He's going to do something. He's going to do it all. He's going to do more than we can even imagine. I'm saying these things and trying to point out to you what it really means and how far reaching it goes, but we really can't get our minds around it, can we? We just can't. There's coming a time when no one and no power in the universe will be set against God in any way. And right now, they are all set against God in every way. Not only no being will be set against God, but no power will be set against God. No power of nature or any spiritual power. Even nature. You know, we talk about everything obeys God. Well, does it really? Even nature. The animals die.
Sure.
Do you know why? Because sin.
Yeah. Yep.
I can't explain it to you, and I don't know how to make any of us understand how that happened, because we don't know, but it did. There was no death until sin came into this world.
Right.
And sin came by one man.
Mm-hmm.
It entered into this world. And so death passed upon all men. Now that's what Romans chapter 12 says. It don't say sin passed upon all men.
No.
It says death passed upon all men because of sin.
Yes,
everything dies. Everything.
Yeah, it does.
If that rose bush dies, it ain't. It's that's why.
Yeah.
God made everything to live forever. So even nature is not subdued unto God right now. There's a curse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's something wrong, bad, with everything. All that's going to be removed.
Amen.
And everything's going to do what God meant it to do when He made it in the first place. All the cancer is going to be removed and taken away. And then everything's going to be healthy and right And it's going to function the way God made it to work from the very beginning. And that's after the end, which is after the resurrection. We're going to get resurrected, and then we're going to see all this happen in the end, and then we're going to get to see all this. He must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. Well, who are the enemies of God? And what are the enemies of God? It ain't just death. Who are the enemies of God? Well, the depraved and the rebellious human heart, the false religions and the phony religious teachers, the devil and his legions of demonic spirits that war against God, and this collective mind of sinful humanity and all that they would do to agree together against God and His righteousness. You know, Psalm 2 says that they've all come together. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And they talk about how we'll break His bands asunder and cast His chains from us. See all that we and us and we, you know, that's that collective human thought. Rebellion. Collective human rebellion against God. Sinners agreeing together. We talked about that here a while back. That's going to stop. That's an enemy of God. There ain't going to be no more of that. He that sitteth in the heavens shall do what? Laugh. How could they think they got a chance? Then shall all be put under his feet. They shall cease to be. We can't really understand that. Death is all we can understand that is as the end of something. Somebody dies and we bury them and that's the end of them and we don't ever see them again. And that's what we think of as the end. But it's not the end. This is the end. I mean, they will be taken away. They'll be cast into outer darkness. This is right after Revelation chapter 20, where the great white throne and that heaven and earth are fled away. There's found no place for them. There's nothing but a great white throne. And everybody who ever breathed a breath on this earth standing before the throne. And then that's the end right there. I mean, that's when it's all... The sheep are separated from the goats. And it's all done. If your name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. And that's where you stay forever. Forever and ever. So anything that opposes God, anything that's God's enemy, any power that's exercised against God, that's where they're going.
Yes.
And they'll never be seen again. They'll never be heard from again. They'll never have any opportunity ever, forever and ever, to ever enter back in, to ever come into the presence or ever see any light anymore. They'll never see any light. They're going to be removed and put into outer darkness. They're going to be cast out of the universe where God and His people are. Anything that raises its hand, anything that would oppose, anything that would resist, anything that would cause any sin,
yeah.
It's not going to happen. I'm going to read these verses here in a minute that shows that. Remember that. They'll never be allowed to appear anywhere again. Nobody will ever see them, and they'll never see anybody. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, it says right there. Now, the resurrection is the triumph over death. O death, where's thy sting? And O grave, where's thy victory? Then shall be brought to pass the same. When? Then when? Well, when in the resurrection. Death's abolished.
Yes.
It's overcome. It's proven once and for all.
Yes.
After those who have died are resurrected, death will be insignificant and of no consequence anymore. I've said this before, but it'll be as if it never existed, it never happened. When everybody's resurrected, it will be no matter that they died, because now they're not dead. Death has no more dominion, no more power, no more effect. It's been conquered. The last enemy,
yep.
I mean, after he subdues everything else, then death's done away with.
Yep.
Put under his feet. Wonder how everybody's going to feel about that. All the people who thought death was the answer. Death was the cure for their problems. Death is what they dealt to their enemies to get rid of them. Think of all the ways death has been used by man and sinners to subdue others, to, you know, all kinds of things. And it's all going to be annulled. What's it going to be like for the murderer to see the one he murdered alive, standing before the throne of God for judgment? And people are scared of ghosts. They talk about ghosts, which there are no such a thing. People are scared of zombies. There is no such a thing. You know, people use Ouija boards and sorcerers and witchcraft trying to talk to dead people and all of this. What's it going to be like when all of a sudden it ain't a dream and they're really there? And it's people you didn't think you would ever see again. What's it going to be like for people like Hitler and all of his creeps and devils that carried out his bidding, you know? What's it going to be like to see all those people that you murdered? Well, it'll be on a much grander scale, but it'll be sort of like that picture I saw a couple of years ago of that. He was a prisoner in a concentration camp in Germany with his striped suit on at the end of the war, and the German soldier's standing there and the prisoner's got the rifle.
Yeah.
And it's pointed at him.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, things turned around.
Yes.
All the innocent blood.
Yeah.
Their blood cries out to God.
Yes, it does.
Now. So what's it going to be like for those abortion doctors and all these people that have had part in it when they're standing there before all those innocent souls to be judged by God? It'll be as if death never even existed in this physical realm where sin reigned for so long. And it's the final undoing of the rebellion and wrecking of the creation of God by sin. It's the final fate of all those who participated in the rebellion against God, but failed to acknowledge their sin and repent and turn to Christ for forgiveness. This is the end for them. Christ will deliver up the kingdom to God, he says, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. He's coming back with the armies of heaven. I mean, the Bible says that. Revelation 19, that is one. If you ever get discouraged, just turn over there and read that again real slow.
Yep.
I saw a white horse. Yes, sir. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses. And I mean, he comes to judge the world. When he has subdued all things to his feet, then he's going to present the kingdom to the Father. And he'll submit himself, it says, to the Father.
Yes.
All these oneness people are going to have a problem when they're going to have a hard time understanding what's going on here.
Yep.
You know, the last verses here show us that all will be restored to God as it was before the great rebellion of man and Satan. See, that's what Jesus is all about.
Yeah.
He's the second Adam. He came to undo what the first Adam did to mess up everything. He came to restore. He came to fix it all. I've said it before, but you need to hear it often, and I need to hear it too. But the atonement does far more than what we think it does. Most people are so simple with it in their thinking that they think, oh, the atonement, Jesus just died for my sins so that I could go to heaven when I die. You know, and that's what Baptists preach. That's all they preach. That's all they preach. And that don't even touch what he really did. And how far reaching that it is. I mean, Jesus, there was so much. Everything was messed up by sin. I mean, from the Adams down, and from the Adams all the way up to the heavens, was polluted and defiled and distorted and cursed because of sin.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus fixed it all.
Yes, he did. He did. That's right. Amen.
As far as the curse is found. Well, I understand it's not a curse like a witch had put on you or something like that. That's not what it's talking about. The curse of sin. How it's just ruined everything. Man, you don't have to look around the human race long till you realize there's something really bad wrong. How can it be? Sin, that's why. And he's going to fix it all. It's all going to be fixed. The wicked even realize there'll be an end of the existence that man knows and has known since the beginning of time. All the world realizes the end is coming. They talk about it. And they imagine all kinds of things. You know, the sun's going to blow up. I've been telling my wife, I don't know if you guys look at news or anything. I look at some, not a lot. But every day for the last week or two or three or maybe even more than that, every day, every other day, they're seeing something new in the heavens. There's some big explosion.
Yeah.
This giant star one day here a week or so ago, 2 million times bigger than our sun, it just disappeared. They was looking that far and there it was, and the next day it's gone. They don't know what happened to it. Now they see there's behind the Milky Way, there's this giant wall that they've never seen before. Big explosions, big circles out there, 4 of them. They, just strange. They don't have any explanation for them, but they'll figure something out. They got all kinds of ideas. They've never seen anything like this before. And I always think about Jesus said there'll be signs in the heavens, in the sun, in the moon, in the stars.
All creation groaneth.
Yes. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
Yes, it will.
He's talking about the days we're living in.
Yeah.
The end times. They had asked him, tell us how it's going to be. How are we going to know when you're coming? And that's what he told them.
Yep, he sure did.
And he said, so watch.
Yeah.
Be ready.
Yep.
The Son of Man cometh in an hour, in such an hour as you think not. Mm-hmm. The Son of Man cometh. And so all these things are happening, which tells us that the end is near. Now these lost people, wicked people, they know the end is coming. And they're nervous about it. And they're scared about it. And they really ought to be.
Yeah,
we shouldn't be scared about
it.
And I really do mean that. You shouldn't look at all this and think of all that's coming to pass. And you shouldn't be filled with fear. You ought to be filled with excitement.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And you ought to get out of bed of a morning and look at the sky and say, maybe this is the day.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what I do.
Goodbye, bed. I may not need you tonight. They're hoping for simply an end with nothing following. They just want it to end.
Yep.
It's going to end. Just go to sleep like you go to bed and never wake up. That's their hope. They view the coming end as a good thing because they imagine that it'll be simply like a cessation of consciousness. And no one will even be aware that they ever lived in the first place. That's what this foolish world thinks. Only a fool would think like that.
Yes,
the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Anybody else don't. You got to be a fool to say that. To think. I've never been wired up like that. And the worst I ever was, there was still a fear in me. what if?
Yeah.
You know, what if it's right?
Exactly.
And then, you know, how could such minds through all the ages believe that it's true, and me, no more than I know, think it's not true and I'm right and they're wrong? How can that be? They're in for a very fearful surprise. Can you imagine all these skeptics and atheists and God haters that's cursed God and denied and mocked and made fun and spent their time making comments on news articles and everywhere about God? When they find themselves just standing before the great white throne. What I wonder is how you're going to be able to hear anything for the crying and the screaming and the... You know, there's never been fear like there's going to be there. Of all the things that's ever happened on this earth, all the things that sin has ever done and caused, and the terrible nightmare things, there's never been any fear like what these people are going to feel when they're standing there. Then come at the end. And that's what it's going to be like. It's not going to be like they think. Everything that any man has ever seen or touched was made by God. Do you ever think of that?
Mm-hmm.
Or it was made out of stuff that God made.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it all belongs to God. And he'll do with it what he deems best. All right, I just want to read some scripture for you in Revelation 21, and then we'll quit. But this is right after the great white throne in Revelation 20. Then you start in Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now see, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that we're going to live, just the few that make it are going to live forever on this earth. They really do. They start out in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and they try to prove that to you. But the Bible says that's not so. That earth and heaven are going to pass away. And there's not going to be any place found for them. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Everything else is gone. All the God haters, all the sinners, all the people who oppose God, every power that ever exercised it against God, itself against God, is gone. Now it's just God and his people. It's God and people who loved God while they lived in this sinful world. These are the people who stood for God and stood alone most of the time, who resisted all the opposition, who stood for God and were not ashamed of him in a sinful and adulterous generation that they lived in. And God himself shall be with them. How about that? It's God himself. And be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Because there's going to be a few. This is right after the great white throne judgment. Everybody's going to be there. Not just the lost. The lost are going to be judged there. But the saved people are going to be there. All the dead, it says. We're going to be there. Witnesses. So he's going to wipe away all tears. You think he can do that? Yes, he can. How is he going to do it? Well, I can't explain that to you. Is he going to erase our memory? I don't know what he's going to do. But I know that that is true.
Yes, sir.
He's going to wipe away the tears. So there's not going to be any crying. And there shall be no more death. neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Then cometh the end. That's when all this is done away with. The end of all this. Why is there pain? Sins.
Yes.
And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Reset. Restart. You know, everything's new. We have no baggage. We have no bad memories. We don't have any negative things to think about. All we got from here, there's no past. From here, all we've got is we look ahead. And he said unto me, Write. One word. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. See, he said all this, and he said, Now write. It's true. These things are true and faithful. And he said, It's done. This is God talking. This is done. All things are new. Everything's passed away. All things are new. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You got to be thirsty. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. Now all things, not any of these things. They're all gone. Nothing here. I'm going to inherit all things there. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Drop down to verse 9 through 11. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, now that'll be a sight to see. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Had to get up on a high mountain to see her. Must be a big deal. We think of few there be that find it, and that's right in every generation, but when you think of over all of these years, it's going to be a great multitude, right, which no man can number.
Amen.
I saw a little video the other day. It was kind of neat. They started out singing Amazing Grace,
yes,
and it was all different languages and all different nationalities and all around the world, and it just went on and on and just kept adding and adding and adding, and they're all singing in other tongues, but it really, I went and read the verse, all nations and tongue and peoples and tongues.
Amen.
He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. They come down from heaven. You know, is this the place he's prepared for those that love him? Yeah, that's it. He said, I go to prepare a place. This is what he's talking about right here. And he even tells us here what it looks like, best he can. But we can't. Words are insufficient. He said, write. Well, he's writing the best he can. But to describe this is human language fails. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. In Genesis, there's light before there's the sun and the moon and the stars. Y'all know that, don't you? Let there be light. And there was light before he made the sun, before he made the stars, before he made the moon. Later he made the sun to rule the day, the moon to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Billions and trillions and quadrillions, and we don't even know how many of them, but he just did that like... So we can't, but we can't comprehend light without the sun and the moon, can we? It's not going to be any light bulbs there. Ain't going to need a flashlight. Yeah. They ain't going to need the sun. There's just going to be light. Because God's there. God did light, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Yeah, there's going to be some kings of the earth there. David's one. Their honor. Bring their honor. There's some kings that had honor.
Yes.
They're going to bring it in there.
Yep.
Rewards. Oh, well, we can go on and on. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Ain't going to be no thieves, no crooks, nobody to hurt anybody. Ain't going to have to shut no doors. Ain't going to have to lock no doors or windows. Don't need all that. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Not any corruption, not any of the filth, not any of the other junk of the nations. The honor of the nations. We see something good once in a while, and we hear something good from people. I've been telling some of you about the police force up there in DeSoto, and the chief wrote this letter about how they haven't had, he said, none of their officers have had to buy a drink or a meal since all this started. He said, everywhere we go, somebody buys our meal for us. They buy our drinks. They offer us money, which we can't take. He said, there's people stop us everywhere and tell us that they appreciate us and thank us for... And telling us, too, that they'll never let people treat us like they're doing in other cities. He said, at the end of it, he said, you know, maybe there's hope for the human race after all. When we hear something good about people, it encourages us, don't it? That's all you're going to hear there. The honor of the nations is going to bring it in.
Amen.
That's all
yes.
Gonna be there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Never going to hear nothing bad. Amen. Never going to talk about nobody. Ain't going to be no gossip. Ain't going to be no criticism. Ain't going to be nothing wrong. Can't imagine that, can you? It's hard to believe. But it's true. God said to John, he said, write, for these things are true and faithful. And it's done. It's a done deal. I'm telling you. That's the word of God. That's God's own word saying, I promise you. This is the way it's going to be. I'd still like to know what Paul's saying. He told him not to write. And John, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both of them. John started to write some of it, and he said, don't write that. No. It's one of those secret things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't spoil the surprise. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So that's what's important in your life. You better make sure. Is your name written there? You know, I sure am glad that it don't strike fear in me to think about all this. That I don't have to worry.
Yes.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I know.
Yes.
Not because of anything I've done. But just who he is and who I belong to. I know. Yes. Sing that song y'all sang here a couple of 3 years ago about homesick. Just a little homesick. I was looking at some of them the other day for some reason there, and I was in 2016, just 4 years ago. Y'all just take a look at it.
Yeah. It changed a bunch.
Seth had hair.
No more. Wyatt was little.
Yeah, Wyatt was little. Maddie was real little.
Tiny.
Things change here. But they're not going to change there.
Mm, that's good.
We don't like change here, do we?
No.
We don't. We don't like seeing our face get old and wrinkled and gray. And we know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Dum, dum, da dum.
The end.
None of that there. We live all of our lifetime here, you know, fear of death. All that's going to be removed, and it's just life everlasting. Mm-hmm. All these words we say so much, and we don't really understand. We don't really grasp them and appreciate the whole meaning of it. Life would be a whole lot better for us if we did it a lot more. If we just took the simple things, I mean, I say simple, but I mean the basic things of the gospel and the and salvation and the hope we have and all of that, and just dwell on it. Just dwell on it. Forget all the complicated things. You don't have to be a deep theologian. Just understand that God sent Jesus to save us.
That's right.
To redeem everything. And boy, you better thank God if you're one of them. And if you're not, you can be. Whosoever will may come. Everybody's invited. Will you sing that song? You're invited to a wedding that will be held soon. We are the bride. Christ is the groom. But like the story Jesus told, they went and invited people and they didn't come. They went out in highways and byways and hedges and they compelled them to come in. Go get the blind, the halt, the lame in. Bring them in. Still, the house wasn't full. Kind of how it is, ain't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God and these wonderful promises. Thank you for revealing to us this much. There's so much more we'd like to know, but we will soon enough. This is enough to suffice. These are the handfuls of purpose that they keep us going. We just need to go look at them more often. We need to think on it more often and study about it and keep it fresh in our mind. When the end comes, then this is what's next. And our future's very bright. I'm glad the end is not just the end for all of us. It's the beginning for us, your people. Lord, I pray everybody here is ready. I pray, Lord, every name in this room is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if not, Lord, please deal with hearts. I pray that nobody would fool around too long, that they would keep the door shut and not let you in. Lord, it's not hard to stand for you when you strengthen us with your Spirit and your Word in this evil time. It's not hard to stand for you. It's not hard to bear the reproach, knowing what's ahead for us. Please bless us this to our hearts and help us to remember these things and go with us now home in Jesus' name.